Good morning, Wynn Tucson. We're here Monday through Friday, and I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn. So it's time to turn down the rhetoric and let's turn up the results to give us a better Tucson. My guest today is Brian Jeffries. Brian is the president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona, and we're going to go into depth about Proposition 310. Is the proposition the best way to solve a problem that's occurring in Arizona? Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for having me. It's great to hear your voice today.
It's great to hear yours also. So let's just jump right into this. What is Proposition 310? And is putting a tax on Arizona residents the best solution for the problem? So I want you to lay out the problem for us, and then we'll discuss how this will work and why the firefighters are advocating for this tax.
Absolutely. Prop 310 is a 0.1% sales tax statewide throughout the state of Arizona that was referred to the ballot this last session by the Arizona legislature. And we, the firefighters and the fire service community, have been talking to the governor's office and to the legislature for many years now, because our fire districts throughout Arizona are in a total financial crisis. And just to give a little history of why this has happened and how we got here, back in 2012, Proposition 117 put a cap on property taxes, okay? Fire districts in Arizona are solely funded by property taxes. They're not like cities and towns. They don't have sales taxes. They don't have water and sewer fees or anything of that nature. Well, the timing of that was unique in that we had just gone through the Great Recession. As we all know here, that any of us that owns a home in Arizona, our housing values plummeted in many cases by half. Well, when Prop 117 was enacted, that capped those property taxes at those housing rates, okay? Mm-hmm. And then met those rates, but it capped the growth. So what that means in effect is that the revenue that those fire departments could collect was cut in half, and then they couldn't get that back to those pre-recession levels for about 20 to 25 years, because they could only grow at very small increments over the course from year to year.
So
I know that sounds a little complicated. I'm trying not to be too complicated.
No.
If your household's income was cut by half and it would take you 25 years to get back to where it used to be, you would have some serious problems on your hands.
Agree. And so our fire districts, I want to kind of break this down. We have 15 counties in the state of Arizona, and the Board of Supervisors, yes, for each of those counties, do they have any jurisdiction over the fire districts? Can they, do they have any way to help the fire districts within their counties?
Basically, the different counties, there's no direct funding relationship between the counties and the fire districts. Fire districts are their own special taxing districts, okay? Now, on a voluntary basis, the counties can help fire districts. For example, when COVID hit and the cities and counties got a lot of federal government money to help with the pandemic, if a county chose to, they could give some of their income to the fire districts to help with emergency response. The fact of the matter is almost none of them did. So think about this. While cities and towns in Arizona were getting millions of dollars from the federal government to help with the local fire departments with personal protective gear, to help with sick leave, to help with overtime while our folks were going on all those emergency calls, fire districts got none of it. They didn't get a single nickel from the feds and most nothing from the counties. So they had to eat all that while they were already in a fiscally suppressed situation.
Wow. And how many fire districts do we have in Arizona?
Believe it or not, we have 144 fire districts throughout the state of Arizona. Fire districts touch every corner of this great state of ours.
Wow. So what will the money, let's just fast forward and say the voters decide to do this for the firefighters and for their own safety, what will the money go for?
directly to service. This is one of the wonderful things about Proposition 310, is that this is not going to some city bureaucracy or a county. Fire districts, that's all they do. The money goes to the fire districts, and it will go directly to equipment and personnel costs to try to drive down response times. In our world, seconds matter. And when you are in a car accident on I-17 or I-10 or any one of our great roads in the state, and you're having to wait for someone to cut you out of that car or to take care of someone who's having a heart attack or stroke, seconds matter. And when it takes we have less folks and less equipment to get there, or even when we have less people on the scene to do all the work that's to save lives, it makes a big difference in the outcomes for our citizens. And all of us took an oath that we would do the very best to save lives. And right now, our fire districts do not have enough resources to do that. And so back to your question, the money will go directly to services, including equipment and personnel, to be able to put people out there to respond more quickly to emergencies.
So right now, you mentioned response times. Are response times worse than they used to be 5-10 years ago? Are they better? What are response times in Arizona?
Yeah, so times in our fire districts throughout the state of Arizona up dramatically. And up is not good, you know. We have many cases. In fact, if you go to yeson310.com, you can see sort of a heat map throughout Arizona where we've had a dramatic increase in fatalities on our roadways and fatalities in a lot of our emergency responses because response times have gone up so much. There's so many places, and I'm not talking about far out rural Arizona. I'm talking right in urban center where we are having upwards of 20 and 30 minute response to people just because we don't have the resources. And, you know, I'll speak about efficiency for a moment. You know, we have done everything possible to try to cut corners to keep putting money out into the streets. For example, a good bulk of our fire districts in the state of Arizona have amalgamated their services. They've conjoined their services. So it used to be Pine Top, you know, and Oral Valley and all these different areas had their own little fire districts. Well, they've all conjoined, so they're not wasting money on everything from copiers, paper, to excessive middle management. I mean, think about up here in the valley, you've got Sun City, the Sun City area and the Sun Lakes area are clear on opposite ends of the valley, okay? They're part of the same fire district, so they could save money. That's happening down in southern Arizona, where more and more fire districts are merging, northern Arizona near Pine Top. We're doing everything we can to merge our services to save as much money as possible, but it's still not enough, and our response times are going up and up.
So, Brian, we are going to head into a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about those efficiencies. I think that's encouraging. I'm Kathleen Wynn. We'll be right back on Wynn Tucson with my guest, Brian Jeffries, president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson with my very special guest, president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona, Brian Jeffries. Brian, obviously, conservatives and people that look at taxes and look at money going into government don't like taxes. And so, this is a sales tax. And how much money are we talking about? How is this going to impact the average voter? So what are we looking at? And let's just start there.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm glad you brought up, you know, especially our conservative friends. I represent almost 8,000 firefighters, paramedics throughout the state of Arizona. We're generally a very conservative group ourselves. Yes. Lots and lots of Republicans in our ranks. So we hate having to come looking for more tax money. But one thing to remember is the core purpose of government is public safety. To answer your question, the amount that this would impact, imagine if you're out spending $10, it would cost you one penny. If you're out for dinner spending $100, it would cost a dime. And One thing to remember, because this is a sales tax, number one, I believe this in some ways helps diversify the portfolio a little bit, so there's no more pressure on property taxes for property owners in these fire districts. But in another way to look at it is think about all the visitors that come to Arizona. If I go to beautiful Sedona and I'm from out of town and I have a heart attack or have a car accident on the roadway, when the 911 response comes to take care of me, I don't pay a nickel for those services. Not one nickel. You know who does? Our local Arizona taxpayers. By bringing it in as a sales tax, a lot of the visitors will help pay for the services they also use, whether they're at the Grand Canyon, down in southern Arizona, touring our beautiful state. I think that's an important element. And while I'm on that topic, another issue we have is our wildfire season. And here in Arizona, one thing to remember is that, unlike many other states, we don't have a statewide fire service to fight our wildfires. All the resources to fight these devastating wildfires that we're experiencing year over year mostly come from our fire districts. So when they're in their own communities, especially a lot of those down there around Tucson, Avra Valley, Oro Valley, I mean, all those areas are covered by fire districts. If they're having to pull resources away to fight these devastating wildfires, then they're not there in their hometowns taking care of their citizens. So I'm getting a little far afield from your question, but I wanted to mention about the sales taxes and the impact that would have on our citizens.
Well, and I just want to quantify it, because I believe over the last 5 years, nearly 2,000 travelers have been killed in vehicle crashes on Arizona's rural roads. And
that's correct.
Another, I think it was 30,000 were injured. And I believe, same time period, that wildfires destroyed more than 2.2 million acres statewide. And so, just to contain, it didn't all happen at the same time, but that's a vast amount of land, which requires a lot of resources. So this tax is not forever, but it is for 20 years. Why 20 years?
So our viewpoint on this is, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to take about 20 years for many of our fire districts just to get back to their pre-recession levels of funding because of what happened with Prop 117. And so we thought we would put, we always think with any tax, you should put a sunset on it, because I think as citizens, you don't want to just forget about it. We want to have a conversation about it along the way. But we use the 20-year mark because that's when many of our fire districts will get back to full funding again. There's no way around that unless we were going to try to repeal Prop 117, and I don't think that's the best approach. So that's why we use that timeline. And along the way, between now and 20 years from now, I think we'll have an ongoing conversation about how well we're funding public safety in the state of Arizona. And if we need to make a change before then, we can. But this will at least force that conversation 20 years from now, as they're reaching full funding, as whether we should continue with this approach or not.
So just to educate our listeners, you know what Prop 117 says, and I think you touched on it, but could you go a little bit more in depth at the impact and when Prop 117 passed, tell us what that was, what happened, and why you're now using Prop 310 to correct a former proposition. And I think I'm not a big fan of any propositions, to be honest. I think we create more damage every time we do this. And it obviously Prop 117 created damage, and now you're using another proposition to fix it. So could you explain more, though, about Prop 117 to my listeners?
I certainly will. So there was a time, now remember, in the state of Arizona, we use a lot of special taxing districts, and your local community college district, many of your local school districts, there's many of them. And taxpayers in Arizona had become frustrated, and I think rightfully so. It was pretty inconsistent on which zip code you live in as to how many layered property taxes there were on people. And what some of the proponents of Prop 117, I think very rightfully felt, was that when we had some of these booms in our real estate in Arizona, some of these special taxing districts were not adjusting their tax rates to remain level set. They were just leaving them be, allowing their tax revenues to go up pretty dramatically.
Because the values in the property was escalating, like we just saw recently. So then someone was being taxed.
Right now is a that's right. It's a perfect example of you've got a house that, you know, someone paid $200,000 for, and 3 years later it's worth $550,000. The local special taxing board left the rate the same, so they've more than doubled their income. And where did all that money go? And so, you know, again, the proponents of Prop 117 had it with that sort of behavior and wanted to put in some type of governor on the motor, if you will, that would kind of level set the income so that property tax owners weren't getting fleeced when those values skyrocketed. Because, as you know, Kathleen, you've been here a long time, we tend to boom and bust here in Arizona.
Correct.
So that's why I don't think Prop 117 was such a terrible idea. The only challenge was is the timing of it. Right when it hit and right when it was enacted back in 2012, those property values had plummeted in the Great Recession. And once Prop 117 kicked in, that locked in those rates. And then it also locked in how quickly those rates could grow. So when your rate is capped and your growth is capped, now you're stuck on half of last year's budget, and you're not going to grow it back for 20 years. And so, to be blunt, you know, property taxes are something, especially if you're very conservative listeners, they're very sensitive to. And so when we had a conversation with a lot of leaders throughout the state of Arizona, a lot of folks gave us the advice that maybe a better way to go, because people do care deeply about their paramedics and their public safety, is that a sales tax option might be a more balanced approach than just trying to go back a property tax levy. And so that's where we are.
So what I'm hearing you say is that because of Proposition 117, that you were an unintended consequence of putting a cap on the tax, so that the funding that would have been going to the fire districts was dramatically reduced. And so this proposition, Proposition 310, is a way through a sales tax, not a property tax, to restore funding to the fire districts that we have, 144, I think you said, fire districts around the state. Is that a fair synopsis? Did I do okay with that?
You nailed it. I couldn't say it any better.
I love doing that. That makes me feel like I am understanding. Okay, because I want to be able to, I think, as you understand, we have a lot of money from the federal government. We had a lot of COVID money. It almost hurts my heart that we got so much COVID money and our first responders were on the front lines and none of that managed to trickle into our fire districts. Like, that's almost...
It's maddening.
It's obscene
it's
to
maddening.
Me.
It's maddening. And I went to our federal representative, Democrats, Republicans, all of them. I said, what about our fire districts? They got left out of this entire calculus. All the billions of dollars that were given out to local governments and the folks on the front lines, you know, we were having to wear special, you know, canister masks and gowns and everything going in, because we, you know, none of us knew the extent of what we were getting into at the pandemic, and the calls kept coming in over and over and over, and not a nickel of that. So you've got fire districts who already have strained resources, as I've already articulated, are now having to spend all this money on, you know, overtime, more personnel, more, a lot of PPE from gloves to gowns to masks, et cetera. Yep, that they ate all of that. And so, we got none of that federal money. And I was furious with a lot of our federal representatives. I'm like, how did you guys overlook our fire districts? I just don't understand. And I've never received a good answer about that.
Well, and we're starting to get calls, so we're coming up on a break. But if you have a call for Brian Jeffries and you'd like to call in at 520-790 2040. And Al, I see that you're on the line, and we'll take your question right after this break. But Brian, and when we come back after we do our questions, I really want you to talk to us about some of the other issues that our firefighters are facing in the state, as long as I have you here, and in terms of personnel, staffing, funding. So I want to thank you so much again for joining us, and we'll be right back after this break. I'm Kathleen Wynn with Wynn Tucson with my special guest, Brian Jeffries, president of the Arizona Firefighters. President of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona. We'll be right back after this break. Thank you. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and my special guest today is president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona, Brian Jeffries. Brian, thank you for staying with us. We have a question from one of our callers, Al.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't get all your conversation, but because you have two propositions, does one cancel out the other, or are you double dipping?
I'm sorry. Proposition 117 happened several years ago, and it had
Is it still going along?
Brian, I'll let you take that question.
Sure. It's important to understand it is still going along, and it reduced taxes dramatically, put a cap on the levy and the rate for property taxes, which dramatically decreased revenues coming into our fire districts.
And, well, that part I understand, but what I'm saying is, does it, with this, even though this is a lower amount, the new proposition that you want to get more money, are you getting from both propositions, or does one cancel the old one out?
No, so the Prop 117 put a cap on property taxes, okay? And so that reduced revenues dramatically for our fire districts. So this would add a new sales tax, 0.1%. So to give you an example, it's about a penny on $10 spent to provide a new revenue source for the fire districts from this point forward.
Alan, and your question to me was, is it double dipping? This is two sources of revenue from property taxes and sales tax. They're two different sources to restore the original amount that the fire districts were receiving, is my understanding. So it's not like you're getting property taxes and more money from property taxes. The amount from the property taxes was reduced to protect the property owner so that in the event of inflation or houses being worth more, they were not being just egregiously taxed. But the unintended consequence of that was that the fire district lost their base revenue. And so their way to fix this is to do temporary, 20 years is a long time, but a 20-year tax. Do you have any?
But you're getting money from the old proposition, and now you're going to be getting money. I'm not knocking that you guys need the money. Yes, you do. But I'm just asking, so you're getting money from the old proposition, and now you're going to be getting money if the new proposition passes.
Sure. One thing I'll explain is I think you're misunderstanding what happened with the old proposition. Prior to Proposition 117, we had fully funding fire districts under state law going back decades and decades. And so there were no caps on the increase each year, and there were no caps on the values when they went up. And so Prop 117 didn't add any new taxes, didn't add any new income. It reduced them. So you keep referring to that proposition as being like a revenue source. It was not at all. It actually reduced revenues dramatically. And so this is trying to make up for some of those reduced revenues. I'll just use your own situation as an example. If you were making $50,000 a year for 10 years, and then in the following year, your income went down to $25,000 per year, and that went on for several years, it would radically change your household situation. And so this is you out trying to get another form of revenue to try to get you back up around that $50,000 income phase so you can pay your bills.
What you're telling me is, yes, I'm making the 25, but I'm going out to get another 25 from the new proposition, so I'm up to the regular level. So okay. To me, we're getting money from the old proposition and money from the new proposition to make up what they've missed in taxes.
Okay, that's pretty close.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. We have another call. Dave, I'll get another question on tax. We're going to become tax experts today, or at least you are, Brian. Dave, what is your question?
Yeah, my question is property tax. You know, people pay property tax, and I pay property tax, and a lot of that, $200 of it, goes to the fire department out here in Pitcher Rock. And let me tell you something, and a lot of people don't pay property tax, so you're penalizing now everybody. And this is a tax. And you know what happened in 1776, all these taxes without representation? Let me tell you something. I see these fire departments, every one of them in the county, they go to Bass's, they go to Fry's, they drive their big rigs. These diesels get 5 miles to the gallon. You know what? Don't send them to go shopping in the grocery store. You need to look in the mirror, young man, and get accountability of your finances and send a runner with a little small pickup truck to go shopping for the firemen. You know what? This is insane. And then you want to put a sales tax? You know what Oro Valley sales tax is? 8.6. It's going to be 9.6 with this proposition. Tucson sales tax is 9.2. It's going to be 10%. Come on. This is insane.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for your call. Brian, I'll let you respond to that.
I didn't hear a question in there, but I will make a few comments.
Thank you, please.
Number one, sure. Number one, the math that the gentleman provided was just simply inaccurate. 0.1% will not drive up nearly to the rates that he articulated. So there's one. 0.1% is very, very small, not nearly a 1% increase as he mentioned. Number two, I'm glad he brought up the part about taking the truck out. So it's not often easy to understand, but I often like to describe things as I compare we're very much like the military. And when you have to be ready at all times, right, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for any and all emergencies that happen, and when your crew is tracked by satellites, anything that you do when you're out in the truck, you have to be ready for something that happens nearby. And I understand, from a layman's point of view, that if you see four people, three people, two people on a fire truck out and about in the public, it may not seem as the most of resources, but I will tell you that, we didn't come about these procedures willy-nilly. We have had more calls out in the community and been able to get to those together as a team, which is why we always stick together as a team and always have to have all of our resources nearby. Imagine if your mother had a heart attack and it was simply a runner without their equipment standing there in front of them without all the equipment in that Bash's or at that gas station, or at that drowning down the street. There is very good reason why we always go everywhere with all of our equipment being tracked by the satellites. So when your 911 call comes in, you get everything and the kitchen sink. Because I will tell you, when someone's not breathing or is challenged with a heart attack, stroke, drowning, car accident, bleeding, all the things we deal with on a day-to-day basis, you want everything right there as quickly as possible. And I understand people sometimes don't quite understand why they see us all together, but that is precisely why. And thousands upon thousands of lives have been saved because we do things the way that we do them.
I appreciate that. And we have another caller, but I wanted to just ask you this. If you live in Tucson or Phoenix, we have city fire departments. So how does this affect me if I live in a city? Am I getting doubly taxed?
I'm so glad you asked that question. So if you live in a city like Tucson, Phoenix, Mesa, Flagstaff, one of the wonderful things that taxpayers should be very proud of about the state of Arizona is that regardless of where you live, we have a very robust automatic aid system and mutual aid system to where, you know, you may live in and pay taxes in a particular city, but it is very common to have a fire department from an adjoining city, town, and or fire in your area running a call on you and your family. Because we discovered many, many years ago here in Arizona, and we've pioneered this throughout the world, by the way, is that using satellite tracking systems to send whoever's the closest emergency unit is by far the best way to save lives, irrespective of their particular geographical boundaries or city or town limits. We found that it's a far more efficient procedure. Let me just give you an example. Up here in the valley, you've got Cave Creek, Carefree, North Phoenix, okay, Anthem. All of those areas, when people drive through those areas on a day-to-day basis, they probably don't even hardly know which jurisdiction they're in. And at any given time, someone in North Phoenix very well may have the Daisy Mountain Fire District at their door, or the Arizona Fire and Medical Authority at their door, or at their car on I-17. So all of us work together, and the best example of that is our wildfire challenges. At any given wildfire, you will see every color of fire truck ever constructed, because we're all working together. And so when you're paying into this, regardless of where you live in Arizona, you're really helping a system that's here to help all Arizonans.
Thank you. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we have another caller, Rick, with a comment on the tax. And I want to thank my guest, Brian Jeffries, president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona, for being with us today on Win Tucson. We'll be back right after this short break. So you're joining me, Kathleen Wynn, on Win Tucson, Issues, Not Politics. And we are with Brian Jeffries, president of the Professional Firefighters of Arizona. And we have a caller. Rick, thank you for being so patient. What is your comment on the tax?
So I would phrase it is that it's not, don't think of it as a tax. Just think of it as a latte or whatever kind of coffee you drink. It's just a cup of coffee a day. Isn't that really the way to phrase it? Especially in Pima County, I think that was the Chuck Huckleberry standby, was we're not really taxing you. It's just a cup of coffee. It's just a latte a day. So my question is,
I don't know that you can get a cup of coffee for a penny, but go ahead.
Okay. So I guess this means my property taxes will go down. Is that correct,
Brian?
Well, yes, sir. What basically, I believe over the course of the future, this will help reduce the pressure on property tax holders. I think this revenue source would help keep property taxes lower long into the future. I really do believe that.
Rick, do you have
maybe?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Pima County, 17 counties, 16, 17 counties in Arizona. Pima County is the highest
15
taxed county. Okay. And so, I think Havasu is the lowest, right? And then, but Pima County is the highest, higher than Maricopa County. I bought a house I bought the $250,000 house in 2012. My property taxes then were $2,500. My property taxes now are, and I haven't opened the note from the, I just got the, in the mail, the new property taxes. Because you know why? Yeah, because I don't want to put the strain on my heart. And so I'm going to put it off for a couple of days till I have to write the check, because I go down there and pay in person. I pay my property taxes in person. I own my house. I pay my property taxes in person. My property taxes are over $4,500 a year. I don't want to move out of my house, but this is in excess of 10% of my entire income, my income before taxes. So I'm self-employed, and some days I'm working, some days I'm not. Over $4,500. I don't live in a mansion. Like I said, I bought the house for $2,500. I don't want to sell it, but every year. So in 10 years, if my property taxes don't go up a penny, would say 10 years now. I've been paying for a couple of years, $4,500 a year. I'll have paid $45,000 in property taxes. And in 20 years, hopefully I'm still around, I'll have paid $90,000 in property taxes. This is money that I could invest, and this is money I could use for retirement. I'm sorry, but do you see why people are resistant to pay more money to the government?
I totally understand, and I appreciate your point of view, and this is not a property tax, and so that's a separate issue, and we can come to that. But I understand what you're saying, and so I appreciate your input, and so this is a sales tax, and so I just want to make sure that we stay on the topic. So I'm going to thank you for calling in, and I want to move to some other issues regarding this, if that's okay. All right. Thank you. So, Brian, one of the things that I know that the police are experiencing and paramedics are experiencing who work side by side with you is a shortage of manpower. So how does that affect, let's say we fully fund these districts, what are we doing to recruit and to get new firefighters and to make sure that if we fully fund these fire districts, that we have the manpower and the equipment to do the job?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because it's a question that I would, in my 30 years as a firefighter and a paramedic on the front lines here in Arizona, I never thought I would have to answer. There is something going on out there, and I wish I had a good answer for you. But, you know, when I tested for the fire department years ago, you know, there would be hundreds and in some cases thousands of applicants in line to get those jobs. A lot of people were called to service. It was a good job, something you'd be proud of, make a good living, and take care of your family. For some reason, and today, especially in the police department, but also in the fire department, our numbers of those we're putting in for the job is down by almost two-thirds. We are only attracting about 25% folks that we were only a few years ago. And frankly, we have no idea why. I think there is such a shift happening in our society. You know, just I think the job market is changing out there, the way people can make money out there. But this idea of committing to an employer for 25 to 30 years and committing to a profession 25 to 30 years is just not that appealing to this next generation. And I will say, too, you know, public safety in our society is going through a very difficult time. Right now, there are efforts out there to defund public safety, particularly our friends in the police department, which I think is quite dangerous. And I think the danger of the job is increasing as well. For the very first time in my career, you know, I'm now having to be outfitted with ballistic protection to go into shooting incidents. And another thing that's going on, particularly in the firefighting area, is our dramatic increase in cancer. We have cancer running through our ranks as an epidemic because in the quote, the old days, we would go to a fire and be exposed to smoke that was produced by common textiles, common wood, things of that nature. Today, as you know, most everything is made of chemicals. You walk into an office, you walk into a home and look at the furnishings and everything has been, you know, your cabinets, a lot of these things are now made with a lot of different chemicals. And those chemicals put off very noxious chemicals when they're, you know, on fire. And so I have a feeling that that's probably playing somewhat of a role in not inspiring young folks to come into our profession. So you asked, what are we doing about it? Well, we are for the first time going out and doing a lot more recruiting than we used to. We specifically like to go. We love hiring our veterans, mm-hmm. bring folks out of their veteran service. They fit in quite well. We are our military organization, and they often do very, very well to the physical demands, the mental demands, et cetera. In addition, we like to return to our schools. There are some great vocational programs out there to prepare people for careers as firefighters and paramedics. You know, we often look to our sports teams. We look for people that, you know, like to get physical, like to jobs that are very physical, because clearly our job is very physical. And then as we're bringing people into the career, we're doing our best to help prepare them for 25 to 30 years of service in a very stressful profession, because the mental effects of all of this, you know, we used to have this attitude about it, like, you know, toughen up, buttercup. You know, if you see some bloody call or something terrible happen to people, you know, you just had to tough it up, and that's the way it was. Well, we've gotten a little smarter now, and we're doing more to help mentally prepare people and take care of our people, because it is, we see things that most normal people should not see. And when you add up the exposures we have over the course of many decades of seeing terrible things happen to people, right, it takes a toll on you. And so we're doing our best to take care of folks. We're looking for new techniques. We're having to reach out in ways we've never had to reach out before to bring people in our profession. And we got to get it figured out, because when you call 911, you don't want the B team. You want the A team. You want the best of the best. And it's on us to try to attract the best and the brightest to our profession.
Well, and I think that that points to something. Arizona's growing. We are getting bigger. Unfortunately, we have a lot of, I'm going to say, uninvited guests right now. So there's been a lot of car crashes with people trying to bring people from the border. We've had a lot of extra incidences in the last year. So that compounds and makes this more complex. But I think if someone is in an accident or someone is in a dire situation, the last thing they want is to add time onto their response time. I think that that we have to be more responsive to the needs of the community, and we are aging. We are, you know, if you look at the population in Arizona, and in your profession, I think we had a lot of people that had served for, done the 20, 25, 30 years. And through the stresses of the last few years, a lot of people chose to retire, maybe even earlier than they would have normally. So I know that there's some extra outside pressures on the firefighters. And you talked about the trauma and the stress. If every day your job is to go into the fire, to go into the stressful situation, to go into the accident, there's got to be just some incredible work done to support the firefighter so that their mental health remains stable, so that they are not constantly seeing the worst of the worst of the worst. And you mentioned cancer, and I know you personally are a cancer survivor, and we're grateful for that. But I think at that point you realize that you guys are not invincible. And firefighters and police have a friendly rivalry. But you're both experiencing this, and unfortunately, we as a public have to understand the role of our firefighters, the role of our police, and support their efforts. That is not an endorsement for Proposition 310, but I think it's important to understand that if we don't have the resources and we don't have the people, then there's the next unintended consequence. So, Brian, any closing thoughts as we finish up the show today on this, on firefighters, on the state of Arizona, and public safety?
Well, Kathleen, first of all, I can't thank you enough for giving me some time here today to talk about this. I'm honored to represent Arizona's first responders and to bring these issues to the fore. As an Arizona native, I care so much about our folks out there, and we're just trying to be able to provide the best help we can. And I really am so thankful that you generated the conversation today. And I encourage folks, if they have more questions, go down, you know, to your local fire department and talk to them directly. If you really have questions about these budget issues, the service issues, we are an open book. We welcome people down to the firehouse. I know our fire chiefs throughout the state of Arizona. I work very closely with the fire chiefs. So they would love to have an open conversation about some of their service challenges and how they can serve you the best. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing it. Yeah, and thanks for having the show, Kathleen. You're a treasure. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.